Parsha Tetzave, at the beginning of the parsha, is very, very much an interruption, as it were, to the rest of Parsha Truma and the rest of Parsha Tetzave. In other words, if you look in Parsha Truma, it's talking about building the Kelim, building the Mishkan. In the middle of all that, Parsha Tetzave begins with working with the Neiros, working with the Shemen, take Shemen and Ma'or, and you light it every morning. Okay? And then it talks about the Begodim, and then at the end of the parasha, it talks about the rest of the Kelim, which the Mefarshim all ask that this order seems to be very, very strange. All the Mefarshim ask that. It is strange, and it takes a lot of pshat. Rav Shamsham and Fall Hirsch has a very, very beautiful pshat, which we cannot go into. But what I want to go into is more into the fact of how the Torah opens up and introduces the tzivui of Shemen. The pasuk says in Perek Chof Zayin, pasuk Chof, the beginning of the parasha, Va'ato tetzaveh es b'nei Yisrael, and you command Klal Yisrael. V'yikrei lechel, and you take for yourselves Shemen, Zayis, Zoch, Shemen, that is Zayis from my olive, that is Zoch, that is pure, Kosis la'ma'or, that is squeezed, Dafka for la'ma'or, for lighting, La'ha'leis ne'er tomid, to light up for ne'er, for tomid, forever. Now, the Baal HaTurim already says straight away, Lo yihizki Moshe bezeh haseder. If you look in Parashat Tetzaveh, it does not say once Moshe Rabbeinu's name in the entire Seder. And he says, Masha'enkin b'chol ha'chumish, Masha'enkin the rest of the Chumish, Shemisho shenoled Moshe, from the time Moshe was born, in Parashat Shemois, Ein Seder, is not a single Sedra, Shayahuzka bo, that he's not mentioned. So in brackets, right, Chutz Mishnah Torah, that are in Devarim as Chazara, there are a few that's not mentioned about Moshe Rabbeinu's name, but everywhere else it is. Why is that? So in other words, he asks, why does the parasha begin, Va'ato Tetzaveh, and you, who's you? We have no idea who you is. We just happen to know that you is a continuation of what Kodesh Baruch has been speaking to until now, which is Moshe Rabbeinu. It should say, much better, Va'yoyimah Hashem HaMoshe Leimu, Tzaveh Bnei Yisrael, Va'yikcho Lecho Shem Zay Zoch. What's Va'ato Tetzaveh, new command? Says the Baal HaTurim, why is this? Why is Moshe Rabbeinu's name not in this parasha? Vahatam, answers Baal HaTurim, Mishum, because it says in next week's parasha, Sh'omam Echeini no Misifrecho, wipe me out, erase my name from your sefer, Asher Kasavto, that you wrote. In other words, next week's parasha is a tragic parasha with the Eagle, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to wipe out the Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Rabbeinu Shleilam, if that's the case, wipe me out from the Sefer. So, says the Baal HaTurim, since that was the case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out Moshe Rabbeinu's name from this week's parasha and did not mention him in this week's parasha. That Adkan Divrei Baal HaTurim. That's the Baal HaTurim's Peshat. The obvious kasher is, it should not be in the earlier week's parasha. We haven't even got to Mecheni No. Moshe Rabbeinu talks about Mecheni Noah next week's parasha, in parasha's Kisiso. So don't mention Moshe Rabbeinu's name in Kisiso. You know what? But you have to, because there's a whole discussion between HaKadosh Baruch and Moshe Rabbeinu. So you know what? Don't mention it in Vayakob Bekudei. And you know how many times in Vayakob Bekudei Kasha says Hashem is Moshe? Dozens of times. So therefore, it'd make a lot more sense if you didn't say Moshe Rabbeinu's name in Vayakob Bekudei. Why bring it in a parasha before Moshe Rabbeinu even said it? That's an obvious question. So this is one of the times where not only is a parasha relevant, but the date is also relevant. The Vilna Gaon says, the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not in this week's parasha, in other words, the Baal HaTurim is difficult to understand. Difficult to understand, we'll get to how we get to the Baal HaTurim soon, how we understand the Baal HaTurim. Okay? But the pshat in the according to Vilna Gaon is as follows. He says, and I read out what he says, yeah, we've only gone. Excuse me. He says as follows: Lo olam noifal yud yoim zayin bador. It always falls zayin bador yoim petiroso yishal Moshe Rabbeinu parsha tetzave. It always falls out that the yot side of Moshe Rabbeinu was in parsha tetzave. Usually keep a yot side on the aleph.
Unless the yoy is.
Yeah, unless the year is nifl, the other base. But if in regular Adar is other aleph. He said, "Yesh mikrim nadirim aboidedim." There are some very few times asher behem nifeles parasha zula achas zayin bador. This week again, this year as well, it falls in Zayin Bador will be on Shabbos, correct?
Yeah,
it'll be on Shabbos on parasha tzave. So he says, "Yoda nisin hatoyra." HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew
Friday,
okay. Yoda Nisan HaTorah knew Had Seifa U'mavit HaTzoif Kol HaDoiris. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can see the events for all generations. Ki B'Zayin Ba'ador Yistalik Moshe Rabbeinu, and Zayin Ba'ador Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be Nifta. V'lechein Leizocho Eshmoy B'Parasha Zu, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not mentioned his name in his Parasha. HaNefeles B'Yoyin Petiras Raboi Petirosoi, that falls in the week of his Petira. In order to give a remez that Moshe Rabbeinu is no longer here. Just like in his parasha, there's no mention of Moshe Rabbeinu, so too, eventually, in this week's parasha, i.e. in Zayin Bador, Moshe Rabbeinu will no longer be with us, will be Nifta. Okay? That is Peshat in the Vilna Gaon, and he says, with a remez, he says, Moshe Rabbeinu, the word Moshe, is Mem Shin Hei. Okay? Mem is, in full, is Mem Mem. Okay? Mem. It's mem mem. In other words, if you verbalize the letter itself, it's mem mem. Shein, what you see of the shein is a shein, is it just the shein itself, the letter shein? But really, it's yud nun. Shein is yud nun. Okay? So that's hey is hey hey. So Moshe, we don't see Moshe in this week's parasha. So the mem shein hey of Moshe, we don't see in this week's parasha, the mem shein hey. But what do we see? We see the mem, the yud nun, and the aleph. How much is that? No. Mem is 40. 40, Yud is 50. 100 and? 101.
Hey or Aleph?
Hey, Aleph. Sorry. Yud Aleph. No, again. Moshe, Mem is 40. Yeah, Shin is Yud Nun, which is 60. So 60 and 40. And Hey.
Hey Aleph.
And Hey is Hey Aleph, which is 101. How many Pesukim does that have in this week's parasha? 101 Pesukim. And therefore, you may not see Moshe Rabbeinu's name in the Nigla, the Mem Shin Hei, but Moshe Rabbeinu's name runs right through the Pesukim in the Nistar. Okay? Ad Kan Divrei Agro. So again, it doesn't seem to make too much sense, because, you know, if you want to talk about the Chazon Ish, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, they have certain yotzites where the schools, for some reason, have a sort of a public holiday because it's a yotzite. I know of certain schools that have the day off because of Chazon Ish Yotzeit. Not quite sure the Chazon Ish should be too happy about that. But, which obviously doesn't make sense. On the contrary, you know, you ma'ira the tzibor and you make a big asifa, you bring together a big kenes, and you talk about the fantastic attributes of the Chazon Ish on his day. So dafka on the, you know, even according to the Vilna Gaon, dafka on the Yotzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned. Adarabba, in this week's parasha, talk about Moshe Rabbeinu double the amount, or you know what to talk about the parasha, because this week is Nifta! And let's talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, what a fantastic leader he was. Not to mention his name in this week's parasha. It seems counterintuitive, doesn't seem to make sense. So I want to say pshat like this. One of the dinim of a leader is his gadlus. You can test a leader how much he's willing. You can test a human being how much he's willing to be Moshe Nefesh. Moshe Rabbeinu was Novi, the greatest Novi that ever was and ever will be. No doubt about it. A person doesn't believe in that, Rahman al-Islam, he's an apokoros. Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest Novi. Moshe Rabbeinu was Makabal HaTorah. Moshe Rabbeinu brought us down the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu had so many fantastic attributes, he had so many names that represented who he was. But says a parasha, you know what? I'll tell you something even greater than Moshe Rabbeinu's name. What is that? The fact that he's willing to say, Mecheni no misifrecho. Mechein no misifracha means Rabbeinu Shleilam, take me out of the Torah, take me out of Nitzchias. I'm willing to give up everything, even my entire future in Olam Abba, my Nitzchias, my entire future, take me out of the Torah, finish, get rid of it, because to save Klal Yisrael. The greatest attribute of a leader, the greatest attribute of Moshe Rabbeinu is the fact that his name is not mentioned in this week's parasha. That shows his Mesiras Nefesh. And therefore, to mention Moshe Rabbeinu's name and talk what a Novi he was, of course was a fantastic compliment, of course it was a fantastic attribute. But the greatest accomplishment Moshe Rabbeinu had was that he reached a level of Mesiras Nefesh where he can step back and say, Rabbeinu Shleilam, forget about me, take me out of the Sefer. And that is why in this week's parasha, Dafka does not mention Moshe Rabbeinu's name to show what unbelievable Navi he was, and that was his gadlus, so he can be mentioned in the parasha and not his name mentioned bechlal. Okay? That's, I believe, is one pshat. And that fits in the Balaturim, because it's his yahrzeit, because the Mechein HaMesifrecho fits in with the Gra, that says it's his yahrzeit, and therefore, the fact that it says Mechein HaMesifrecho, and it's his yahrzeit, shows us that Dafk on the yahrzeit is going to bring something, doesn't even mention his name, to show his Mesiris Nefesh, which is Moshe Rabbeinu's greatest attribute. Rashi says, that not speaking about him is the greatest form of speaking about him.
But isn't that Moshe Rabbeinu electing to be left out? It's a sign of his greatness, not our speaking about his greatness.
Fine.
Leave him out, it's not the same as he leaving himself out.
There's no mention of him in this week's parasha. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees.
But he wasn't the one that left himself out.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you read the Torah, did not mention Moshe Rabbeinu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing us what Mesiris Nefesh is willing to go through, and that is Moshe Rabbeinu's greatest attribute, Dafka on his yahrzeit. Okay? Rashi says, Lahalei Sneir Tomid. Okay, that's very nice, but what's it got to do with Dafka, this particular mitzvah? Why talk about Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness, about being Mechein HaMesifrecho, Dafka, when it's got to do with the Menorah and the Shemen? What's the idea behind that? So Rashi says, Lahalei Sneir Tomid, says Rashi, Madlik Ashtehei Shal Heves Olam Eileh. One's got to light the menorah, light the candle, and hold it there until the flame rises up by itself. The machanchim, those people involved in chinuch of children and chinuch of adults, say the greatest, the pinnacle of education is where you can step away and the lights are lit and they remain lit. If a Rebbe leaves a classroom for 5 minutes and the whole place turns upside down, he hasn't done his job. If a Rebbe can leave a classroom for an hour and nothing happens, that's not a weakness, that's a tremendous strength. Moshe Rabbeinu can leave his name not mentioned in the parasha once, and the Torah still carries on. You can have a stage of Madlik Ashtesh Heves Olam Eileh. The parasha can carry on at the early stages of Klal Yisrael existence. Without Moshe Rabbeinu's name, we know exactly what's going on, we exactly know who Va'ata is, and you, and the whole parasha can go through without Moshe Rabbeinu being hovering over us and telling us what to do. That is a gadlus of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was such a leader that we can step back and allow us to carry on without having to need him. But it goes much deeper than that. The Mepharshim say that the menorah and the ner, kineh mitzvah v'toira oir, that the ner, the shemen, and the ner of the menorah represented Torah. Okay? I talked about this many years ago, but I want to bring it up again. Rashi says, how did they deal with this? What did they do to get the shemen? So Rashi says, "Ata tetzav is zoch." What does zoch mean? Pure. Beli shemarim means without shemarim, without sediment. K'moishin b'malachus megaragoy b'reish hazayis. They'll bash it from the top of the tree. Now, what's that got to do with the minimum of sediment? Look in the Gemara there. But Rashi said mentions two things. As number one, it's without sediment. It's got to be absolutely pure. And number two, it's bashed from the top of the tree. Well, they take it from the top of the tree, they take olive here, not olive there, take from the top of the tree. That is the din of Zoch. Kosis, what does kosis mean, pressed? Hazesim hoya kosis machteshes. You'd squeeze a zesim in a hand grinder. Ve'einon toichlon berechaim. And he never squeezed it in a berechaim, is a huge press, an olive press. Kadesha yehebo shmorim, that should not be shmorim. Okay? So this is another din of kosis, means you've got to press it yourself with your own strength. You can't do it with a olive press. Carries on Rashi, v'achar shohoitzi tipa rishona, and after you took out the first drop, machnison l'rechaim v'toichnon, then you can put it into a rechaim, into a grinder, and grind it properly. V'hashemen hasheni posel l'menorah, the second drops that came after is posel for the menorah. V'kosher l'menachos, and kosher for a korban mincha. Shnema kosis l'me'oyer, press for a or oil for the light. V'loy kosis and menachos, does not have to be pressed necessarily for the menachos. Okay? So here's Rashi is talking about the halachos of shemen, that the dinam of shemen have three characteristics. Number one, it's got to be pure. Number one, it's got to be hand pressed. And number three, it's got to be the first drop. Also says Rashi, when it comes to a mincha, which we actually ate, and the Kohenim ate in Israel, you know, it was something that we actually ate, it doesn't matter if it's not that pure, it doesn't matter if it's a second drop, that's fine. So obviously we have to understand, this is being burnt at the end of the day. You'll never know if it's extra of extra virgin olive oil. Who cares whether it is or isn't? It's being burnt. You know, you have these, sold for Hanukkah, this terrible looking, you know, this olive oil that is poison for cooking, only full of moira. I'm not sure exactly why, because I think that acidity rate, I'm not sure exactly what makes it inedible. But it's terrible, but for lighting, does a great job. You never know. You see what bottle it makes, you'll never know the difference. When it comes to eating it, putting it into a fettuccine, you know, it'll give you a heartburn. Right? So why, when it comes to menachas, does the Torah say, no, only the first, even the second drop, the third drop, do whatever you want, put it in the press. When it comes to the lahalei sneir tamei, to light a candle, nobody even know the difference? No, only the first drop. What's the difference? So the Or Chaim says, a vault, and I believe, I just want to bring it out a little bit stronger, that the menorah represents the three elements, what it takes to be a Talmud Chacham. The menorah is Torah. Kinei mitzvah Torah. Or if you want to be very understanding, you understand the menorah has six different branches coming out, central branch, and all the candles, all the lights face towards the middle. That's a Shisha Sidra Mishnah, which is all facing towards the Torah Shebich Sav in the middle. There's a lot going on there. There's obviously everything is a remez, the shkedim, how you look at each one is mushukodim, the remozim of the Torah, the tagim. There's a huge amount of what the menorah represents. But ultimately, the light that's lit from it is a Torah. Torah is different to anything else. You know, Rachman al-Itzlan has brought down Aristotle, who was a fantastic thinker. They once saw him in a place where he shouldn't be, doing the most immoral acts, and asked him, how can you be here? What's going on? So he says, nah, when I'm teaching philosophy, I'm Aristotle. When I'm out here, I'm not Aristotle. If Rachman al-Itzlan, and you know, I'm not even surprised. You're right. He knows nothing wrong with it. He's nothing wrong with it, with a astrophysicist to be doing things like that. It doesn't take away from his knowledge. No, people are surprised that they find football players misbehaving. They're football players, not role models. They happen to give a very good kick from the midfield into the goal. So they're football players. But you can be a very good football player and be totally immoral. You can be a scientist and be immoral. You can be a politician and be immoral, believe it or not. Yeah, it doesn't take away from who you are necessarily, but it's not shaykh to be a ben Torah and be immoral. You could be a person who knows Torah to a certain extent, but to be a ben Torah, to be a person who is an absolute chelik of Rabbeinu Shalom's Torah, it's impossible for that to be in a place where it's a dirty kli. It's not shaykh. And therefore the Torah is saying over here is, number one, when it comes to Torah, it's got to be zoch. It's got to be pure. Bli shemorim. Without any kind of dregs inside the kli. The more you purify yourself, a more person is pure in machshava and dibur, that is the way you can actually become a Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham is not a person who's a walking encyclopedia. A Talmud Chacham is somebody who knows Torah and Torah has become part of him, and he has purified himself to that extent that Torah survives inside that kli. Torah cannot be in a kli that's dirty. That's zoch. That's number one. Number two, it's got to be in a case where it's toichen berachayim. Toichen berachayim means I can much, much easier put it into a big press, pull down these. Have you ever been to one of these? Have you ever seen one of these big oil presses, old-fashioned oil presses, that have basically an area where you have the olives and you have this huge piece of wood and boulder that you go and press down on the olives and the olive oil comes out. That's very, very easy to do. But in Torah, there's no shortcut. There's no magic mix. You put the Torah in, quickly spin it around and out comes Torah. There's no shortcut. I think it was Rishol Slanta said that a person's not a top button Torah wants to know the whole Cholot Torah Kulo in one night and that night sleep as well. It doesn't work. It takes hours, it takes days, it takes months, it takes years sometimes to go through a sugya. And people break, you know, literally break themselves to get to a sugya. And therefore to put it into a machine and now and have a shortcut, you know, there's a new revolutionary way to learn Torah. It's not a revolutionary way. The revolutionary way is to work out how to be a masmid and sit day and night. Tomid, kol laila v'laila kori tomid, says a parasha. Every night, sitting down and learning. It's your own strength. It's your own koichus. It's your own satat dishmaya. That is what's going to bring a ben Torah. Thirdly, it's got to be the first drop. Why the first drop? Remember when I got my tefillin, my sefer, who's a very, very well-known sefer, is called Sefer Samson. Mr. Samson, he makes tefillin. Anyone who's seen his yellow boxes anywhere around the world, is a trademark of his, a yellow box of tefillin. That's Samson tefillin. Very, very special tefillin. And not only is it the way he makes a tefillin, but he refuses to give them to people unless... not refuses, but he certainly encourages anyone who buys them from him, he gives them a little shear before he gives them to them. It's not just something you buy. It's not a mobile phone. It's not a car even. He gives them a little shear before he gives them. He says, please do me a favour. I made this tefillin for you with such love and such care. It's taken me a long time. Please don't speak in them. And he says, and I give you a brocha, that in many, many years' time, when you put on the tefillin, it should be with the same enthusiasm that you put it on the first time you put on tefillin. Everyone remembers the first time they put on tefillin. Every Baal Tshuva remembers the first time he kept Shabbos. Everyone remembers the first time he decided to keep Shabbos. Does he remember the second time? The fifth time? The eighth time? The 26th time? He don't remember. He said, so what he's saying over here is, it's got to be the first drop. The first drop represents newness, freshness, excitement. That is Torah. Going to a sugya, getting to it with excitement, looking as if it's the first time. Oh, I've seen this sugya 25 times. Yeah, but you haven't seen it now. It's a whole new mahalach, it's a whole new sugya. That is the new drop, that's the first drop. That's what's so important about it. When it comes to menochus, when it comes to eating, enjoying something for yourself, gesundheit, it shouldn't be so fresh. But when it comes to Torah, it's got to be this new, it's got to be this freshness. That's why it's dafka in this week's parasha, when we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, that represents who we are, that represents the Olam HaTorah, the best possible way, it begins with Moshe Rabbeinu, with a parasha of Menorah, that talks about the koichas of Torah, the koichas of what we should be concentrating in to become like a Moshe Rabbeinu, as best we can. I want to go one stage further. My Rebbe Reb Chaim Kaufman, he said, if you look in the parasha many times, it connects the menorah to the ketores. V'halois aron es haneros, v'halois aron es menorah yaktireno. Yeah, you should do ketores. So asks Reb Chaim, what is the connection? Why does the Torah always connect the lighting of the menorah to the ketores? They're two complete different malachas. One's lighting menorah on the menorah, and one's taking the ketores and mizbeach ketores, and doing two completely different elements. Two completely different parts of the Avodah. Why connect the menorah to the ketores? So he says that, you know, by Yom Kippur, we say a very unique tefillah, you know, which is very moving. A lot of people get very moved by it. Al das amokoyim, al das akohol, v'yishivo shel mahalo, v'yishivo shel mahato, namatir nispalel, imavaryonim. You know, we say it three times, that we, Kodesh Baruch is allowing us to dub with the varyonim. Even those people who never come into shul the rest of the year, we open up the doors, and we say, you know what, you didn't behave the rest of the year, come inside, we join you in with our minyan. But I need special rishus for that. And we bring them in. Inside the ketores, which is a unique blend of the most fragrant spices, there was one particular spice that was putrid. What was that?
Chelboino.
Yeah, which was putrid. It was a reach ra. Why put in the reach ra in such a unique blend? If a person make a beautiful perfume that they're trying to market, they wouldn't put inside there a toxic smell. So why is it that from the ketores, which is the most beautiful smell, you put in chelboino? So they say Peshat is that the Chalboina is referring to the Poshe Yisrael. It's referring to those people, Rachmana Litzlan, who are not behaving the way they should. And within all the spice, within all the beauty of the Ketores, you put in a bit of the bad spice, a bit of the Rishoyim inside there, and that should be involved in the spices, and that should sort of cover it up the best we can, and bring up their Reach Nechoyach, the Kodesh Baruch Hu as well. Okay? So that's why we have the Ketores has a Chalboina attitude to it, has an element to it of a Chalboina. However, in other words, be makar of them, bring them in, incorporate them. This week I saw a sefer that was a tshuva sefer from Rabbi Rosenheim. He was the Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Yaakov Rosenheim was the Rosh Hashiva of the Rabbina Seminar in Berlin. Yeah, he was the Rosh Hashiva Rabbina Seminar in Berlin. He was a yeshiva there for Rabbonim. My grandfather learnt in that yeshiva 70 years ago with many, many other Tamil Chachamim, and he also had a picture of Rav Yaakov Rosenheim on his wall. And in the Sefer Zikaron, in one of the earlier Perokim, he has in there a peruk, a shaila that was sent to Rav Chaim Moshe Grudzinski with regard to the shaila that my great grandfather had a machlokes of the Würzburger Rav. There was a very, very long, bitter machlokes my great grandfather had with the Rav of Würzburg with Rav Shamshon Fall Hirsch, whether you should split off Reform Jewry and make our own Übergemeinde, make our own, I think that's what it's called, our own special stream of Orthodox Jewry and cut off the Reform from our community, or on the other hand, nope, bring them in, try and be makar of them, help them best they can, and because once he's cut them off, once he's split them off, let's see, you'll never see them again. And Rav Shamshon Fall Hirsch said, that's it, we've got to break away from them. Make a clean split, have nothing to do with them, break away. My great-grandfather held, this is terrible. You've split away from them, that's it. You've lost them for generations. Who knows what's going to happen to them? They may not even marry Jewish eventually. Yeah? Because at that time, it wasn't so clear. And he said, no, you've got to split them. No, you've got to keep them together. And there was a machleika sent to Rav Chaim Moshe to Paskin, what he should do. And Rav Chaim Moshe says he has no idea. It's such a difficult machleikus, he's not going to put his head into this. And Adoyem Azeh, the Sefer from Shemesh Marpe, from Shamshon Fall Hirsch, has got a lot of tshuvas to my great-grandfather, to him. And my great-grandfather Sefer, I think it's called Tshuvas Yitzchok, I'm not sure exactly what. He's got a whole tshuvas that he wrote about it. It's a very, very complicated machleikus. In other words, here we have a chelboino, we have an element there of bringing them together, but there's a danger. But there's a danger, and therefore because of that danger, do split off. And it's a very, very difficult shaila. It's a very, very difficult shaila what to do. So Tzvasemes says, Be'echol ba'ador, this is a gewaldig of Tzvasemes, Mashmim ala shkolim ala klein. It's a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. It's a Mishnah in Megillah. Mashmim ala shkolim ala klein. We let people know about shkolim and klein. What's the connection between the two? Says so Tzvasemes, what is the idea of a shekel? A shekel is, use a half. Don't give a full shekel, use a half. Why? Because with a shekel, bring the other person in. Bond with somebody else, that is the idea of a shekel. You're not whole by yourself, you need somebody else to bond with. That is a shekel. Masha ain't Cain, when you bond, be careful who you're bonding with. So on the same day, when it says bond with somebody else, you mashmim ala klayim as well. You gave a warning against klayim mixing in with people you shouldn't be mixing with. Mashmim ala shkolim ala klayim. They let you know about shkolim, mix with other people, bond with other people. Other hand, klayim, be careful who you mix with. Be very, very careful. And the Sfasemis carries on and he says, Shlema HaMelech was Masakin Natilis Yadayim and Erevin. Natilis Yadayim and Erevin. That's the Sug of Erevin. He was Masakin. And the Baskol came down and he said, Im chochum b'ni, if my child is a chochum, yismach b'ni gam oni, I am rejoiced with my son. So the Mefarshim asks, what's the great pikchus of Shlema HaMelech? That he made a tilis yadayim, and he made Erevin, a chbaskol comes down and says, chochma, I want to join with this chochma. What's the idea behind this? So the Sfasemes explains, that ultimately, the tilis yadayim, Erevin, let's start the other way around, Erevin is all about joining people together. Is taking people from this chotzer and another chotzer and making one big mix everyone together, we're all together. So that's Erevin. Yes? And that's all together, we're all joined up together. On the other hand, Shlomo Melech knew that isn't the end. There's a Tilis Yadayim as well. What's a Tilis Yadayim? It's precious. It's separating yourself, guarding yourself from a Vegel of Am Ha'aretz. The reason why I wash your hands is because it's a sheni l'tuma, because a big day amoritz, the begotten, the close of amoritz, are matami. And if on one hand, join in all together. On the other hand, natile sidayim. On the other hand, wash your hands. Be careful. Be careful when you make this big mixture of erevin that you don't become tummy through it. And that, a Kodesh Baruch Hu says, im chochem b'ni. Ah, that's chochem. And therefore, says Reb Chaim Kaufman, that is pshat. Whenever we connect k'toyres, which is dealing here with godless of being makar of somebody else, it cannot be done in a vacuum. It's got to be connected with Das Torah. It's got to be connected with the Menorah. It's got to be connected with knowing who you are and where you're standing. Because Chas V'Shalom, just that you can include him in your smell, he can include you in his smell. And therefore, whenever you have the Torah, you've got to have the Menorah as well. To remind us Yes, Kiruv. Yes, be Makar. Bring people in. On the other hand, yes, make a Reuven. Yes, do a Shekel. But on the other hand, there's an Indian there of Klaim. There's an Indian there of the Tilat Sidaim. There's an Indian there of Das Torah, knowing exactly how far you go. Therefore, those two things go very, 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 very well together. Satmar Rav used to say that Dalad Minim, when you take them together in Shul in Halel, you take the lulav at Dasim on the Rovus, which represents the Amoritz and those people that aren't such to Minach Chachamim, and you put it together with the Esrug together, which is the absolute Tam Lachachim, Tam Vareach. And you shake it all together. But as soon as you're not in Shul anymore, as soon as you come home, the Esrug goes in his box, and that goes in his box, and they have no connection one with the other. So that is Keteris with the Menorah. That is a Gadlus of Keteris and the Menorah. But I want to go one stage further. And it's something I need a little bit more clarity in what I want to say about. It's a little bit fresh, but I believe it's MS, and I want to. Hopefully, Hashem give me Satu Shmaya to get the absolute clarity as I say it.
So based on what Rav was saying, the machlekes in terms of form was. I don't agree that they should include the machlekes was how bad it would be in terms of how bad the influence. The machlekes was based on the influence. I don't agree they should include it. If the influence wasn't bad, but they weren't sure in terms of how bad the influence was.
Yeah, the shayla was like this. Everyone agreed that kiruv is important. Right. On the other hand, everyone agrees that the influence of bad people on good, if it's going to destroy them, that's terrible. Of course you can't. Mm-hmm. The question with machlokes really was, to what extent are mechut b'mois nefesh to include them? Right. Okay? I don't want to say who was right. Being a great grandchild of Witzburg Rav, I can't say who's right, but the Maisa, we can see who's right. Having any shaychus with people who are Tommy and making any kind of forum together and sitting down with them and discussing with them and trying to bring them in has never ever helped Klal Yisrael. Okay, my great grandchild should be moichel me, but in perfect hindsight, we've seen the effects of such a thing. Moshe Rabbeinu says. Yeah, it was. I mean, apparently they say that Mendelssohn davened three times a day. Mendelssohn davened three times a day. Yeah? His element of reform was, du bist eine Jude in der Schule und ein Mensch auf der Gasse. You are a Jew in the Schule and a human being on the street. That was his thing. Anyway, Moshe Rabbeinu. What's it got to do with let's finish off with this. What's this got to do with Moshe Rabbeinu punkt saying, separate me, don't write me in the Sefer? What's that got to do with, necessarily, with the idea of Shemen, Zayis? What's the idea behind that? Rabbi Yaakov Naiman, Darkei Musa, brings a Medrash. And the Medrash says, Zayis Ranon Yofe Pri Toya, Zayis Ranon, the beautiful Zayis, Yofe Pri Toya, has a beautiful appearance of a pri. Korah Hashem Shemecha. That's how Kodesh Baruch Hu has called you. In other words, Klal Yisrael is called the olive. So the Medrash asks, V'chilo nikri Yisrael ele b'shem Zayis b'lvad? Or Klal Yisrael only called the olive? V'halo b'kol shem Yisrael is noy m'shubach nikri Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael called all the beautiful trees. Tapuach, apple. So why dafka do we say that? Oh, Klal Yisrael is the olive. What represents the olive? Why is Klal Yisrael represented by the olive more than any other fruit? Elo, ma hazayis hazeh atshu bilonoi megargin noisoy v'achach merid noisim nazayis v'nechva meshubah. In other words, the olive, you don't eat nicely and pleasantly. We take this olive, which is a beautiful, expensive fruit, and we knock the kishkas out of it. We take it, we smash it, we beat it, again, we purify it. Eventually, take out all its kishkas, everything. You got a little drop that comes out. You take it, and what do you do with it? You burn it. Yeah. Nebuch, poor old olive. Compare this to, you know, our friendly apricot. You know, what do you do with an apricot? You take it off the thing. You very, very soft gloves. You put it on the shelves in Tesco or wherever it is. And you sell it per pound. You know, very carefully. This poor olive. What does it go through? It says a medrash. That's Klal Yisrael. Galalis Klach Yisrael. The goyim come, they beat it and send it from place to place. And they tie them up and they beat them. And what happens then? And then the Klal Yisrael do tshuva and the Kosh Baruch answers them. When I'm when it's tzar l'cho, when it's tzar to you umetzaucha, and then you find a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Klal Yisrael really is the olive. It's represented by the olive. The Gemara, and he brings a medrash. He brings a medrash, says as follows. The medrash says, he brings a Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara says as this. Hahu pulmusa, this pulmus, this army, to also the Pumpadisa, that came to Pumpadisa, Orku Rab of Rabbi Yosef. Rab and Yosef ran away from this army. Poga Buhu Reb Zera. Reb Zera met them along the way, so they're a bunch of refugees running away from marauding armies. Omelu, no, these armies out to kill them. Omelu, who he said to them, Arukoi! Refugees, listen to me, refugees. So I'll come along the refugees and bring them a care package, right? And bring them into their homes, and so everything's going to be fine. Refugees, I've got to tell you something. Kazayis Sha'omru, this Kazayis that you're talking about, is from the place of the bitter place and place where it's alive. Now, what's this talking about? And I'm not going to give the background over here. It's a Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin says that if an animal has a treifus to it, if the animal cannot live because there's something wrong with it internally, the animal is treif. So therefore, if the kovid, if the liver is missing, yes, then the animal is treif. However, if there is a kazayis of liver left, yeah, a kazayis of liver left, then that kazayis of liver left does not make the animal treif, but it's going to be in a certain place and a certain chiyus and a place where it needs to survive. Yes. In other words, he's coming along and these people are running away. You know, they've been hounded by the goyim. And these refugees come to town, and it was there it comes that Shalom Aleichem. I'm just going to tell you this halach of Hilchus Treifus, you know, with the liver and everything. This is the place. Hello? Feel sorry for us, you know, give us a bit of sympathy. Start telling me these different Torah. What's that going to help you? So the pshat they give is that the kazayis is obviously also a measurement, but also the fruit. The kazayis, you are like the zayis. You are like the olive. That the olive, but mokim chiyusav mokim mora. In other words, just because it is bitter, that is its life. Now, this is bitter for you. It's difficult for you. Kazayis. It's like a drush, right? This olive, not the size of an olive, there's got to be where the liver is. But just like an olive, the olive is its life is when it gets beaten. In other words, we expect Klal Yisrael to survive in a context of being surrounded by in a room, a library full of books. Rashi probably had a beautiful library with a big oak desk and a comfortable executive chair with neon lighting, and he had this Apple Macintosh, and he was typing away, writing through Shas. He was persecuted, he was running from place to place. The Balaturim wrote the Balaturim one night in jail without any sforum. Do you know that? The Balaturim wrote the Perush. Because he wasn't sure where he was going to die, he wrote the Perush Baal Peh in jail. The Baal HaTosfos were being hounded by the marauding armies of the Crusades. Maromi Rotenberg was in jail. Rabbi Kiva, look at the times when Klal Yisrael shone. That is the Gadlus. In other words, just like Isaiah. It gets beaten, but that's its chiyus. That's you going from place to place, but that is where the best Torah is going to come from. That's very nice pshat. Okay? Rabbi Yaakov Naiman said, but that's not posh pshat. The posh pshat is, they're running away. What do they have? They have one thing, they have Torah. I can't give you very much, but I can give you a good Devar Torah. And that good Devar Torah will let you survive. That's Rabbi Yaakov Naiman's pshat. Okay? Okay, fine. I want to say Peshat, and Moshe Rabbeinu is saying this, Rabbeinu Shleilam. You want to wipe out Klal Yisrael. Why do you want to wipe out Klal Yisrael? Because they did a terrible Avera. What was Avera? The eagle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't have a choice. I've got to finish them off. I've got to wipe them out. I can't keep them around. I can't allow them to be here. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbeinu Shleilam, you do have a choice. If they've got to go, give them Yisurim. Let them suffer, like we're suffering today all the time from the Golos and everything is because of the Chet Eagle. Let them suffer. So Boyin Shem said, but okay, but if we let them suffer, who knows, they can survive it. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, if you want to wipe them out and don't allow them to suffer, wipe my name out from the Sefer. Now, what's he saying over here? In other words, if you, Rabbeinu Shem, I understand as Moshe Rabbeinu, as a Talmud Chacham, that suffering is not a contradiction to Torah. suffering is sometimes a prerequisite to Torah. And therefore, if you want to not make them suffer, then you're taking me out of the Sefer. You're taking out Torah from Klal Yisrael. It's not shaykh to have Tamid HaChomim if you don't want them to suffer. Suffering and Tamid HaChomim go hand in hand. It doesn't mean a person who's not suffering can't be a Talmud Chochem. But what it does mean is that the more a person pushes himself and squeezes himself and works in himself and brings himself to levels of Kedusha, and if it does unfortunately reach levels where it's difficult, and he makes himself great through that, that is where real Torah is going to come out from. Me'aniyim takes the Torah. From Aniyim, says the Gemara, the Torah comes out from. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Rabbeinu Shleilam, if you're not going to allow them to suffer, then take me out. There won't be any Tamid HaChomim. Contrary, give us suffering. Let Tamid HaChomim suffer, because that's key. But Tzion takes the Torah. Because from Tzion, it has all so many troubles, so many Golus, that's where Torah is going to come out from. And therefore, Dafka in Zayis, Dafka Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned in the beginning of this parasha, which is parasha Tzaveh, which Moshe Rabbeinu says, Mechein no mesifrecha, why me up in the Sefer? And it's Dafka taught when it's talking about Shem and Zayizoch, to show the connection between suffering, about being like a Zayis, and having ultimate Torah. Having a Moshe Rabbeinu that represents Torah, having a parasha that represents the Mesiris Nefesh of Torah, and having the Zayis that represents the Zoch, the pureness, the effort, and the freshness of what Torah requires. And that is a greatest accolade to Moshe Rabbeinu, that has created a Dor that we can continue in his Derech. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu is there thousands of years ago, we still continue in Derech Moshe Rabbeinu. And Be'ezus Hashem, we should continue with this and understand the godless and freshness that we've got to each and us, the effort we've got to put in to Be'ezus Hashem bring out the pure oil of each everyone has now in the Shoma. Mm-hmm.